It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Sal Capaccio joining us on the Western Hotline. Watching one of the replays of last night's face mask on Sam Darnold. There's a super slow-mo, and you can almost see his eyes. His face is being pulled to the left by the Rams player, and his eyes look to the right, almost like he's looking at the for the official, like, you see this? This is egregious. Football Friday brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Sal joins us. Sal, we gave a quick little conversation there to reviewable penalties, something the league has kicked around before. They did it with pass interference. The original article I found was Bill Belichick in 2013 suggesting reviewable penalties. I don't know. I don't know if AI could do it the way that I watch AI call out the blitzers on Prime. I also don't know what the league's appetite is to fix calls like that one last night. They want to get them right, but at the end of the day, you know, missed calls has been baked into this sport for quite some time.
Yeah, I agree. And I just, my issue with reviewing penalties has always been, like, what point is the tipping point where you, what is reviewable, what isn't reviewable, how often are we doing this? Because, you know, the old saying is there's holding on every play. Are we reviewing every play for holding and looking at every guy? I mean, I do think, however, that it's different. Face mask is different than pass interference. Pass interference is very subjective, right? I mean, you could obviously say, like, okay, that's clearly pass interference, but it's still a subjective penalty. It's not. A face mask is not. He either grabbed it or he didn't. And that would be one that I wouldn't be as opposed to maybe under 2 minutes, something like that, right? Maybe having limitations. If there was a face mask penalty, we've seen others where it's been called, but it was really the grabbing of the collar, maybe. So it looks like a face mask. It's not. I don't know. I don't love it. I've never loved the idea of reviewing penalties. But man, last night was just so egregious that it gets you to a spot of maybe there's a way to do it for something like that. So it's a tough call.
Is there any other penalties that are like that? Because I hadn't thought of that for face mask. It's not really a subjective call. It's much not. More obvious than pass interference. Are there other penalties like that, or is it just face mask?
It's a good question. I guess you could say holding, but it's subjective too, right? What is holding? Yeah. What isn't sometimes, right? Like that's a.
I think that's
well. That's why.
Subjective.
That's why. Like hitting helmet to helmet contact is, you know, something that you could see it clearly, and they look at that.
That's another one.
Really, they look at it.
Sorry, Sal. Yeah. That's another one where I feel like that happens on every play. Like even if it's accidental, just you want to do helmet to helmet contact. Like guys will be hitting shoulder to shoulder, and their heads might also accidentally meet. Like that would be one where I might want to leave it where it is because you are getting the most obvious ones for the most part already because they're pretty clear.
Well, you know, college they review for targeting, right? And if did he do it a certain way and. You know, so we're moving in that direction in a lot of ways. I can't really think of another one, Joe, necessarily that would be, you know, I guess you could do like a chop block, right? Or a block in the back. But some of those are still, again, like where is the actual contact made? I saw one last week where there was a game. Which game was I watching? I can't remember. It might have been a primetime game, a Monday night game. And there was a touchdown score, but they threw a illegal low block on the offensive player. And what it was the tight end was coming over and he was basically doing like a wham block on the defensive end. But to me, the contact was legal. It started high and then he went low on him, but they said he started low and I didn't think so. And I'm like, man, that just took away a touchdown. That was a good block to me.
Yeah.
Right? Like there's always, but as Jeremy said, every sport you have bad calls baked in. And this is just what, and part of it for me has always been growing up with sports and playing and thinking about this is coaches make bad calls. Players make bad decisions. Everybody on the field, everybody in the arena makes mistakes, and the referees are the human element part of that, just like everyone else. We want them to be perfect, but we want our players to be perfect. We want our coaches to be perfect. They're not. So I think you just have to, at some level, just live with that.
You know, and now that I'm thinking about it, Sal, we have this the other way. Last night is you can't throw the flag for the official, right? The eye in the sky, for instance, cannot throw the flag for the official. It does happen the other way. When the Bills played and lost in Foxborough last year, they called an illegal man down the field penalty on the Patriots, and the eye in the sky told them to pick it up. So we do get this. We just get it the other way.
That's right. And you get in the eye in the sky was supposed to be something for, not necessarily like last night, but you're right. How many times have we seen? Almost every game, we do have a call where after review, we're going to change that he was short of the first down. Or after review, there was no catch on the play, and therefore there's no challenge has to be used. So, I mean, you already have the eye of this guy doing these things, so I guess you could incorporate it there. And look, at the end of the day, I mean, they still had to go 97 yards, and they still then had to get a two-point conversion, right? So I'm not convinced that the Vikings would have done that and won the game, but it certainly should have been call because it was pretty egregious. I think that's the biggest part of it. It was right in front of everyone, and it was so egregious. Like, how do you miss that? How can we help them not miss that?
And as we've laid out, it's one of the few calls where it's not really supposed to be subjective. In fact, it used to be more subjective where there was a 5-yard and a 15-yard, and they got rid of that and said, like, let's just make it an easy 15-yard. You know, Sal, the thing I wonder is we went down this road with pass interference, and it lasted 1 year. And I don't really hear many teams or many get owners' meetings. Are there teams leading the charge to bring that back? Because they made it reviewable. It happened for a season. It went away. And I wonder if it's a, I don't know, I'm not going to cautionary tale. It didn't ruin the season. It just existed for a year and then was gone. And I feel like it was never heard from again.
I don't think if I remember the last couple of years that that's been a serious movement. There's always seems to be some sort of proposal from someone that doesn't get very far, right? Like some sort of reviewable penalty, pass interference, whatever, that it never actually gets to the owners' meetings. It's just maybe something that's kind of left on the floor because it was, you know, a few months before that, a few weeks before that, they start talking about things. I have not seen much of a movement for that, Jeremy. So yeah, maybe that 1 year kind of showed everybody, like, what are we really doing here? We're not really helping our game by having this. So we'll see going forward if something like last night, you know, changes that possibility. But my guess is no, even because here we are in week eight, I should say. And by the end of the season, that's going to be just one of many calls that were missed. They're going to be chalked up to. That's what happens in this game is calls are missed. So I doubt that will bring some sort of huge movement, but I think at least, you know, there are people that obviously think about it and talk about it, and you never know where it's going to go.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline as we chat about last night's big story in between the Vikings and the Rams, the penalty not called on the face mask. It is, of course, Football Friday, and that's brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. By Crosby's Pizza and Sub, start your game to the Crosby's way. All right, Sal, looking ahead to this opponent, the Seahawks and the Bills, you know, your conversations with people out there in Seattle. It's a good test, right? To me, the biggest test here is the road, because the Bills have two losses, both on the road, and this might be the toughest environment of all. You know, as we look back on what the Bills' offense was missing in those two previous losses, it wasn't just that their receivers were not getting open. There's also a lot of talk about the offense not being able to function in the same way, whether that's motion or whatever. And have they found answers for that? Can they kind of bring their full offense on the road? Granted, Amari Cooper makes a big difference, but a road test for the Bills, I'd like to see them pass a road test like this, even if it's a team that's not thought of as a premier team. They have a winning record, they're challenging to face, and it's something the Bills have, I think, I don't say they've yet to do. They did win in New York against the Jets, but it's a big test on the road in Seattle.
Yeah, and looks like we're going to get what you would think is, you think about Seattle weather, that's what we're going to get on Sunday, and they're going to get for the game. It's going to be wet, damp, cool. Like, it's a challenge to go into that environment with that crowd and that stadium and that weather to play. Yes, we have weather here in Buffalo, but like, that's like their kind of comfort zone, right? What they're normally used to pretty much. And you know, like, when you go in there, you know, you're playing the Seattle Seahawks in Seattle and what they call the 12th man. Obviously two great fan bases, passionate, very loud stadium. They built that stadium to keep that noise in, just like this stadium here is going to be built very similarly. It's going to be tough, no doubt about it. That's one of the big challenges. But look, I think there's opportunity here for the Bills. And talking with people in Seattle about this team, the Seahawks, the biggest concern they have is the Seahawks offensive line just is not good at holding up. They can't really protect very well. And Geno Smith as people have said, he's been running for his life all year. But that being said, guys, Geno Smith is leading the NFL in passing yards, which is crazy to me to think about how you could marry the two things. Normally you wouldn't, which is pass protection has been really bad, but the quarterback's leading in passing yards. But if you take a look, part of the reason is they have guys who get open early. They have separators. They have what we've kind of been clamoring for here in Buffalo, which is get some receivers who, yeah, as soon as, you know, 5-10 yards downfield, they're open. You can get them the ball. And that's what they have in Jaxon Smith-Njigba. That's what they have in Tyler Lockett. And of course they have that in DK Metcalf, but he's also their downfield guy. And that's going to be a huge thing to watch today, guys. He has not practiced for 2 straight days, DK Metcalf. And they have a really good running back in Kenneth Walker who can catch the ball out of the backfield. They're going to throw. Here's what I think is going to happen. You watch the game on Sunday. Immediately watch the first couple series. It's going to look very similar to the Titans last week. They're going to throw a quick game. They're going to do quick rollouts, get the ball out of the hands. They're going to do 2-step drops. They're going to say, we're not going to let the Bills' defensive line impact this game. We're just going to get the ball out to these guys who can get open very early. And I think that's going to be a big challenge for the Bills' defense.
Because the Seahawks, Sal, like, their offensive line is one of the lesser units in the league. And even without Von Miller, like, it feels like a game the Bills' defensive line, the way they've been playing, Smoot's on the injury report, right? But maybe he's fine. Like, it feels like the Bills' D-line could wreck this.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Game plan for the Seahawks if they were to take time behind the line of scrimmage.
That's why they probably won't want to do that. And then obviously they do have a good running back. They have a running game. They have a couple of good. Charbonnet comes in as well. So that's for sure. That's the biggest advantage the Bills have in this game. But look, we don't know about Terrell Bernard's status. That's going to be something really big to monitor today, because we'll have Sean McDermott. I will on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show at 11 a.m. That's when he's scheduled to come in, 11 a.m. and to come on. And we'll get more of an injury status update on Terrell Bernard. But if they don't have Terrell Bernard, now you're talking about Baylen Spector, and we all know, like, he's not quite the coverage linebacker Terrell Bernard is. So that's another area where they'll probably want to attack a little bit. So, yeah, I think all of that up front, the front seven, that's the biggest advantage the Bills have in this game, guys. And we'll see. Is offensively, this is a big play defense for the Seahawks. They are kind of feast or famine. Like you were talking about, Jeremy, like, yeah, there's some definitely challenges. But there's going to be opportunity there, and the Bills have to capitalize, because the Seahawks, they've given up some points in games, and either they've made big plays, and like last week, they really shut down a very good Atlanta Falcons, offense. Now, the Falcons moved the ball, but they turned it over 3 times, but that's what I mean. This is a big play defense for Seattle. They're either going to kind of give up a couple of big plays to you. The Seahawks, the Bills have given up eight runs of 20 or more yards, which is quite a bit. The Seahawks are giving up 9. Like, I mean, they give up some big plays. So there's going to be opportunity there, and you got to take advantage of them.
Sal Capaccio, you mentioned a couple of the names we'll be watching. We'll call the Barnes Firm Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm Car Crash. For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. So, Sal, the injury report, Terrell Bernard, Dwayne Smoot was on it and
limited. Yeah.
So what are we watching other than Bernard?
Yeah, let me just clarify on Bernard, too, for everybody. So yesterday, again, no change in the status. He did not practice 2 days in a row. On Wednesday, we were told by Sean McDermott he had an excused absence, but he's still dealing with the ankle injury. So then Thursday, he wasn't at practice again. And then afterwards, I was told same status, meaning he had an excused absence, but he's still dealing with the ankle. So we can kind of think about that however we want, which to me means maybe, I don't know this for sure, we'll find out more today, obviously a lot more today. But to me, that could very well mean whatever he's got going on, that he has to be having a personal absence for, and we hope everything's okay, obviously, with him personally and his family and all that. But whatever that is, they may say, look, you're not going to practice anyway. Take care of that and get your treatment on your ankle when you can or whatever. Work all that out. Then we'll see where it goes. So today's a big day for A, practice to see, and then C, to, and B, to see if he's going to be, you know, ruled out or whatever by Sean McDermott at some point, you know, when he comes on with me or then, you know, later on. And then, yeah, you're right, guys. DeJuan Smoot didn't practice on Wednesday. He was limited on Thursday, which is good. Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox, both limited, but that's good for Dawson that he was a non-participant. Then he was limited, so it looks like both are going to be fine there. And then I think the other big one is Curtis Samuel. He has not practiced for two straight days. He has a pectoral injury, so that's not trending very well for Curtis Samuel. So I wonder what that looks like for the wide receiver group. To me, you're not going to go into a game with four healthy wide receivers, so I would think you'd be looking at Tyrell Shavers or KJ Hamler or someone to maybe be, you know, called up if he can't go.
So just to review from last week, an injury we watched, you know, Khalil Shakir had that ankle injury, played the game. You know, he went for two catches against the Jets, then seven against the Titans. Is this, like, everything's good to go? Because sometimes, you know, lingering injuries, guys play through it.
I did hear Allen, though, say after, well, he said he knew Khalil had been playing through it.
Okay.
Like, but that was after the game. I didn't know if he meant, like, he had been, and then in that game, maybe he felt better.
Well, he's not on the injury report anymore. So right. That's good. You know, I mean, obviously, and the Bills have, what, 16, 17 guys, whatever it is, listed on the injury report. So, you know, that's good news. That means, you know, everything should be good to go. Yeah. I thought, obviously, you know, it speaks for itself watching him play. I mean, they gave him the ball close to the line of scrimmage late in the game a few times. He made some great moves, stayed up on his balance. So I think everything came out pretty well for Khalil Shakir in that game.
Very good.
What about roster management stuff? Because I still see Darrington Evans on the reports, Al. IR, like, don't they have to make a decision on him at some point? Because I feel like it's been a couple weeks that I've just seen him on the report and then in parentheses IR.
So the decision on him has to come by, I believe it be October 28th, because he started practicing, or October 30th, I think. I'm sorry. He started practicing on the 9th. I think you get 1 day grace period. Either way, it's 3 weeks. It's next week at some point. Next week is when the decision has to come. So what they have to decide with Darrington Evans is by next week, by the end of next week at some point, that either they have to activate him, then make a roster move for him, or they don't activate him and he's shut down for the year and goes on IR, then they cannot for the rest of the season, which, by the way, that's what Cleveland did with Nyheim Hines. Nyheim Hines was on IR. They opened his practice window. He practiced 3 weeks. They're not going to activate him, so he's done. Like, so in that case, just like Darrington Evans, if that were the case, then you could also release him with an injury settlement, and then if he clears waivers, you can re-sign to the practice squad. So that is definitely something that's in the window here for next week we're going to be watching. The other thing that we're going to be watching for next week is Von Miller's return. Von Miller comes off suspension next week, so the Bills are going to have to make a decision on what to do there. Now, Zion Logue, he's been on the active roster, and the three-week fulfillment will be committed for them when you sign a guy from another team's practice squad. So that could be the easy move right there. They got him from the Atlanta Falcons practice squad. But we'll see how this week shakes out. But a couple different roster decisions certainly have to be made between now and the end of next week. By the way, guys, on the other side of things, we are watching that DK Metcalf injury today. That's one to monitor. I don't know. I mean, everybody keeps saying in Seattle, basically, anybody you talk to in Seattle will tell you the same thing, which is, yeah, he's not going to practice all week, but he's DK Metcalf. I wouldn't be surprised if he plays. Mm-hmm. Like, that's exactly what you're going to get from everybody.
And we'll
find out. And if he does play, then, I mean, okay, I just don't know how effective he'd be on his knee. You know what I mean? Like, he has a knee injury, and they have, by the way, they have three division games after this. Yes, he's a freak. I get it. And, you know, he's fought through a lot of injuries, and they always say, like, he's a gamer. He doesn't really miss games. But that's what you're going to get from them, which is, yeah, he might not practice all week, and then he's going to play on Sunday because that's what DK Metcalf does.
And
then you have Tariq Woolen.
Hold on.
Real quick. Tariq Woolen, who's been dealing with an ankle injury, missed two games. He has practiced this week on a limited basis, but the question is, will they put him on the field already, or does he need another week like the Bills have done in the past with, like, let's say a Terrell Bernard or a Taron Johnson coming back from an injury and giving them full 2 weeks of practice?
I want to get back to Metcalf, because one thing about this specific scenario, Sal, we don't know is Seattle with a first-year head coach. Like, we could ask you, hey, so-and-so hasn't practiced all week. Will he play? And you
right.
can know in McDermott, like, actually, guys, when a guy doesn't practice all week, he almost always sits and does not play. And in the case of Seattle, we kind of don't know that because the coach doesn't have a huge body of work with regard to how often injured guys play.
It's great. It's a really good point. Yeah. I mean, you could go by the body of work from himself, from DK, and apparently this is something that's happened with him before, so I'm sure he has some sort of a control or say, like, hey, this is, you know, it, how he feels, and they'll kind of guide it. But you're right. We might not have a good, real, you know, baseline of sense of how, you know, Mike McDonald would treat this. The other interesting thing about Seattle this week, guys, is they traded their starting will linebacker to the Titans. And in return, Jerome Baker, in return, they got a new starting middle linebacker in Ernest Jones IV. So they're going to move Tyrell Dodson from the Mike to the Will this week, where he was last year with the Bills mainly, and when he played next to Terrell Bernard. So it's interesting to have this whole shift going on. And now Jones will come in and he'll know most of the defense because there's some crossover with the systems. That's why they felt comfortable bringing him in and onboarding him right away. But Tyrell Dodson will still call their defense and wear the green dot, even though he's going to play Will linebacker. But they do have a big shift going on at their linebacker spot this week.
Sal Capaccio on the Westerra Hotline. Thank you, Sal.
All right, guys, you got it.
We'll be listening today to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal will have Sean McDermott around 11 o'clock, so stay tuned for that. And you get the very latest on the Barnes Firm Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured, for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION.
We're going to have to name some Seahawks later on.
Yes, we will definitely name some Seahawks. You want a 30-second exercise in something else that's also kind of fun?
Yeah.
Have you checked the NHL standings?
A couple days ago I did.
Okay.
Yeah. Just two points out of the division still?
So, funny thing. Tonight.
With the same amount of games played?
Tonight, Ottawa plays Vegas. All right?
Ottawa's been playing well, I think.
That's right. Ottawa has been playing well. Ottawa plays at Vegas. And okay. I'm just going to say this. If Ottawa loses to Vegas tonight...
Mm-hmm.
The Sabres play the Red Wings at 1 p.m.
Yeah.
They would be in second in the division with a win. The Sabres.
That's kind of incredible. At 4-4-1, they would be second in the division?
There's some games in hand, but not as many as before. That's the first note. If Ottawa loses tonight, doesn't get any points tonight, and the Sabres win, they go to 9 points. Only Florida has more in the division right now. Yeah. Again, like the rest of the day, Saturday would happen.
Boston's been struggling.
Yeah. Funny you mention that. If I told you on opening night, hey, on October 25th, the Sabres are going to be sandwiched right between Toronto and Boston. Toronto, 4-4-0. Mm-hmm. Buffalo, 3-4-1. Boston, 3-4-1.
All right. Division coming back a little bit. I don't know about Toronto for this. I think Toronto's lost some games where they've dominated. Their opener, they outshot the Canadiens like 50-20 and lost 1-0.
On goal differential, Toronto's a -1. Buffalo's a -3.
The thing I've read about Boston is they don't even look good. Like they've lost these games and they don't deserve. It's not like they're losing unlucky games. They just don't look good, which would be amazing if they finally get bad.
You ready to call tomorrow a must win for the Sabres?
No.
Listen,
it's game eight. Okay, maybe.
No, it's the game that for the last year they lost this game Saturday 1 p.m. Detroit. A little bit of a momentum push, a little feel. They lost this game 7 times last year. Beat Detroit.
Are they also wearing black and red?
They are.
Okay, must win. Got to win in the go-heads.
Hockey Halloween. Big event. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Football Friday. Jeremy and Joel will be back in a snap. That's brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, official apple of the Buffalo Bills.